All right, great to have the third base coach, the professor, with us on this Sunday morning. Well, how are you today?
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Doing well. Looking forward to talking to the professor about baseball. And, boy, what a game last night. This whole week, the games with San Diego, the two with Atlanta, excellent games. But last night was 2-0, no homers. You didn't have anyone to shake hands with other than the fourth inning.
No, that's right. And luckily for me, the decision I had on the base hit by Casale to drive in two was an easy decision, unlike the night before. So, a good baseball game. I love that. That's the way we played for many, many years until we started hitting all these home runs is, you can't make a mistake. We had good defense. Crawford, wow, what a game he had at shortstop last night. Yaz helped us with that inning to put those guys at second and third. And it was a baseball game, as I like to say and you like to say. And that's the way we've been used to playing over here in San Francisco. And that's the way it seems to work out when you're playing good teams with good pitching.
Well, and that's the playoffs. Well, you've been down this road. You're probably the only one that's been down the road as much as you have and the whole staff. And you know when you get into the games, whether it's the Braves in 2010 or the Reds in 2012, you've got to play good, solid baseball, and you can't always rely on a home run.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, you don't want to beat yourself, and I think that's very, very important. So how do you not beat yourself? You make all the plays. And then you take advantage of your offensive opportunities. And I think we did it last night with Yaz on his own, first and second, nobody out. And he wasn't sacrifice bunting, but he saw the third baseman back, Riley, and he tried to drop down a bunt hit. Now, if he's safe, it's bases loaded with nobody out, and here we go. And Riley made a tremendous play. I mean, he was deep, and, I thought Yaz was going to be safe. And they made a tremendous play, and he just did get him out. But it set up the hit for Casale, and we scored the two, and that was the ball game right there offensively for us.
We haven't talked about Casale enough. As I said in the open today, it's a 16th shutout for the team, the ninth one that he's caught.
Wow.
He's a backup catcher. And, other than the beginning of the season, and he had COVID over the winter, which he talked about, and it knocked him out pretty good. It was 7-for-70 at one point. But since then, he's been a good hitter. And he's what an addition this guy's been to the ball club. We haven't touched on him enough.
No doubt about it. I mean, you think of backup catchers and even starting catchers. I mean, starting catchers, you want them to hit, right? I mean, but there are teams that – don't have the luxury of having a Buster Posey, someone that can do all the stuff with the pitching staff and call a game and also hit. But backup catchers, you definitely want them to be in tune with the pitching staff. You want them to take charge. And Kurt's as good as any that we've had here in calling a game, following a game plan. And we've had some good ones, right? Benito Santiago, Mike Matheny, Benji Molina. I mean, we've had some great catchers here in San Francisco, and Kurt, first and foremost, above his hitting, like a lot of catchers in the game, it's game calling and knowing the other hitters and executing that plan that he really takes to heart.
And the pitchers like to pitch to him. That's even more important. And you take a young guy like Duvall, he can help a guy like that.
No question about it. So, We're so lucky to have Buster and Kurt. You said Kurt's been a great addition. I know his wrist earlier in the year was bothering him quite a bit. They put him on the DL for 10 days, or I should say IL, I guess we call it now.
Yeah.
And he got a chance to heal up, and he came back, hitting home runs and producing. But his real value to this club is all the things he does with the pitching staff. And not only during the game, when he's on the bench, his conversations with the other pitchers, and he fits in perfectly with a winning team.
Yeah, I like it. I'm glad that we could talk about him. All right, our professor is with us this morning. All right, let's go back to the night before. And I've called it the It Game. I thought it was the one that cemented the fans and really bonded everyone with this amazing season the Giants are having. And here comes Solano. Yeah, this is Michael Morse again. This is two strikes, two out, Will Smith, the place going crazy, and he knocks one out. Well, what did you think at that point?
Well, it was a great game. I wish that D'Arnaud didn't hit that home run, because that really put a bummer on the night up until that point. Here they go. They got a one-run lead in the bottom of the ninth, two outs. Solano comes up. He works the count to two strikes, and he had two starters. Smith worked the count. He had two strikes on him. And at that point in time, you're not feeling real good about winning the game. And here he goes. He throws a slider down and in, and Solano hit it out of the park. And that's his first at-bat since coming back from the COVID situation. So it was just a great moment. As you're saying, it reminds you of the Michael Morse moment. And gave us a chance to win the game in extra innings. So great at bat. You know, he's always been a very, very good hitter. And you don't think of him to have the power, right? Michael Morse, I remember when we sent him to the plate in that particular instance, we were going for the home run. We had a couple other guys. I can't remember who it was, but we didn't want to hit. We needed a home run. And there was two outs, nobody on, and that's what we were looking for. And Michael Morse delivered it. And for Solano to hit one out of the park there, just a tremendous moment for him and us.
Yeah, Pat Neshek was the one with Michael Morse. And here's Solano. Come on, he spent 2 weeks on room service in a hotel in New York.
That's right. I mean, he had to take out a loan to pay his room service bill. And really? So maybe that home run will get him a little more money going forward.
Well, it reminded me of pinch hitting. And look, pinch hitting is such a big part of the game. And, you know, you go back to the history of the Giants, and you go back to, you know, the 1880s, and Jim Muttry was the co-founder of the New York Gothams. Then he was the manager. And he had a team that was a good team, and they were big guys, and they used to hit the ball all over the place. And he called them one day, said, "My Giants, they're just such a good team." And from that time forward in the mid-1880s, the team has been known as the Giants, and that's how it came about. But the thing about Muttry that was interesting was that he hated seeing the game in the 1920s because they used pinch hitters. And his big quote was, "In my time, we had nine guys against nine guys, and there were no pinch hitters." So Ralph and I were talking about it. I said, can you imagine if he watched a game today with the pinch hitting, the guy's head would explode.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, the pinch hitting, yeah, it would explode, no doubt about it. And I have to say, you know, pinch hitting has evolved, really. I mean, there's been a lot of guys in the game that made a living as pinch hitters and bench players, right, to give you that good at-bat. And I think about the biggest differences today. I mean, our group, you know, with our hitting group and Dustin Lynn, he's down there in the cage, and Mark Halberg, and these guys are throwing to these guys, getting ready for the moment. Not only are they throwing in the cage to get them ready for the pinch hit, you know, they're putting the machine on the pitch that the pitcher throws that they're going to face. So we are so prepared for the pinch hit moments, unlike the way we were at Candlestick, right? When you were at Candlestick, you'd be sitting on the bench for 7 or 8 innings, freezing to death. They point at you, you take your jacket off, and you go up to the plate cold turkey. You talk about a difficult job and try to hit somebody throwing 98 miles an hour. These guys are in the cage. They're hitting for at least an inning, and they're hitting against the shapes of the pitches the guy they're going to face. And then they go up there, and they're so much more prepared for that moment, just like Gausman was when he went up to win the game for us in that same game.
Boy, the Gausman at bat and that whole sequence. Now, you got in the middle of this one because, you know, you had Crawford on third, and all of a sudden there was a fly ball to left field, and you didn't send him. What did you think at that point?
Well, you know, I wanted to send him because I knew Gausman was coming up, and we weren't going to get another chance without with a man on third and less than two outs where a sac fly will you know, bring him in, because I know they weren't going to let Solano hit. They were going to walk him, and then of course then you need a hit with two outs and a pretty good hitter in Belt coming up. I didn't feel terrible knowing that Belt was coming up in that situation. But the bottom line is you look at the reports, you watch the guys throw, and Rosario has one of the better arms on the club, It wasn't very, very deep. Now, he did catch it a little bit to his left-hand side, but he gets rid of the ball quickly. And with nobody out, I just thought he would have been out, and we held him. And thank goodness later on, Gausman hit one that was very, very shallow as well, but it was hit to Jacques Peterson, who, you know, doesn't have the same arm strength as Rosario, and he takes longer to get rid of the ball. And so we rolled the dice there on him throwing out Craw instead of waiting for Belt to try to get a two-out hit. And Craw had a beautiful slide. The throw was just up the line, and that's the difference. You know, if it's on the money, he's probably out, and people are booing me and saying, why'd you send him? He had Belt coming up with bases loaded. But the baseball gods were looking out for me and our team that day, and we ended up making the right calls.
Boy, what a moment. What a moment. And the place is going nuts, really. And you're in the middle of it. And that's what makes you the veteran, you know, that you can handle situations like that. Good for you. That was a moment. Boy, what a week of baseball. The celebration, you know, you guys, and you and I talked about it on last Sunday of how they would celebrate, or would they, and you said it was up to the players. And the celebration was full bore, and you were right in the middle of it.
Yeah, it was full bore. That's what I expected. Anytime you get into the playoffs, you're going to celebrate. And everybody in that clubhouse, staff included and Cap, you know, we all know that this is just the first step and we really want to win the division. But you don't miss up, you don't pass it up an opportunity to celebrate, and rightfully so. And the thing about it was, it was a good celebration. But it wasn't an all-nighter. It was, you know, it was on the shorter end of this spectrum, which made a lot of sense because these guys know we had to come out and win the next day. But they did take the time to have their moment. And like celebration goes, they waited for Cap. Cap got in the middle, and he pointed that out. Look, you know, this is the first step, and you know, well done. And then when you uncork the champagne and Cap gets out, you know, is done talking. It's bedlam, you know, the beer is flying, the champagne is flying. And that's when you let your hair down and you go bonkers for, you know, 5 minutes. Like you don't know what you're doing, like you're crazed.
And you were right in the middle of it. I saw them. Everyone surrounded you and got you pretty good.
Well, you know, a little bit later on in the celebration, Logan Webb was pushing me. He goes, you get in the middle, get him. I said, no, you keep pushing me, you know, because the guys are kind of standing around the club. I said, no. And I think him and Waddy had it planned out, Tony Watson, maybe to douse me. And before I know it, he kind of pushes and Watson comes over. And then the mob, you know, it's like you're out in the streets in Brooklyn, Marty, and you wander into the wrong neighborhood and you're standing there. And all of a sudden you're surrounded by all these guys and you go, oh, no, here it comes. And that's what happened. But I loved every minute of it. And they got me good, and it never gets old. I can tell you that never gets old.
Good for you, and boy. And Chicago was also, look, the Giants swept the Cubs, but you got to bring the lineup card out, which you've done a million times before, and Matt Duffy did as well. Is that right? I think I saw that in Chicago. How about that?
Yeah, no, you're right, and I have to thank Kai for that. Kai has been letting me take the lineup card up the last day of every series, so I'll take it up again today. You know, just since I'm leaving the field, give me a chance to say hello to the umpires or the other coach or manager, whoever's going out there. And Kai was the one that, you know, asked the Cubs, the coaches he knows over there, if they can let Matt Duffy bring the card up. So he orchestrated that event. And I'll have to tell you, you know, it was a beautiful day in Chicago. Last time in Chicago, we have a lot of great memories dating back to the 1998 extra game we had to play for, I can't remember if it was the wild card or if it was the division. But, you know, and I have to admit, seeing Duff there and giving him a hug, I was a little bit emotional. And it was a great moment for me, and I really appreciate Kai orchestrating that that day.
Boy, you're really in a very interesting spot right now. Of course, you got another 2 weeks, got the playoffs ahead. How do you feel about it, about your decision and everything else?
Well, you know, when you're in the moment like we are and we're winning games, you know, you feel like you're making the wrong decision because you're enjoying it so much, and you can't get the energy from the fans, and you know, and your teammates. And, you know, we're in battle, and we've put 7 months into this thing, and we want to continue to go ahead and win. And that's what drives you, and that's what we do, and that's what I love. But at the same time, you know, I made the decision, and I'm not going to second guess it. I'm looking forward to, you know, remaining in the organization and helping in another role. So you don't know until you get in the other role if you know, you're gonna love it or if you feel like, oh, maybe I should have stayed on the field. I mean, it's hard to leave the field because you don't get the energy and the emotions that you get anywhere else in life as consistently as we get, you know, being part of a team and trying to win. And when we're doing what we're doing, it's very special.
Yeah, and boy, you're in the middle of a hot pennant race, and the Dodgers are two back. You know, you can't let it up at all. And Friday night was amazing. Last night was a good baseball game, and we'll see what today brings. But yesterday was a good moment at the ballpark for Bob Lurie. And I've always said, well, that there should be a spot in this ballpark for the ownership, whether it's Horace Stoneham, his father, Bob Lurie, the Peter McGowan group, and, you know, wherever they are, the ownership should be recognized. And Bob Lurie got recognized yesterday.
Yes, he did, out on the Wall of Fame out there on the street, on the side of the stadium. And, you know, Bob was only, they said it yesterday at the ceremony, he's only the second non-player to be put on the wall. And the first one was Peter McGowan, to your point. And they had a tremendous ceremony yesterday. They had a lot of dignitaries were there, ex-mayors, you know, Jordan and Agnew and Feinstein. And, you know, a lot of heavy hitters came out for this moment. And Bob Lurie, you know, so well-deserved it. Everybody you talk to and that ceremony and listen to people talk about it. It was just so interesting and so enjoyable for me to even be there. And, you know, I'll tell you this about Bob. I was a manager in San Jose, and I think this tells you the type of individual he is. You know, I've never met Bob Lurie, and, you know, I'm miles away from the major leagues managing an A-ball. And when he sold the team about 2 months later, I got a check in the mail from Bob Lurie, you know, thanking me for my services. And I guess he sent money to everybody in the organization and thanked them for their contributions. And, you know, that was such a classy move. And, of course, I never forgot it. And the rest, obviously, is history with Bob Lurie and how everybody feels about him.
Well, he saved the team. There's no question. They were 10 minutes away from going to Toronto at that point. And he stepped in with Bud Herseth, who he didn't even know. He was a cattleman from the beef packing guy from Arizona, and he split the money with Bob Lurie, and they saved the team, and that's how you get to Oracle Park, and that's the legacy. So I'm really glad that he got that recognition. Then he threw out the first pitch, and you were designated to catch it. How about that?
Yeah, that was nice as well. I was real honored. Well, I was probably the only one here when he was, you know, an owner. So I guess they chose me to catch the pitch, and I was a little concerned about getting down in the squat to catch the pitch. You know, Kai, he brought it up. Are you going to be okay going, you know, to squat down? And a few guys ribbed me, and then Kai breaks out the video of Don Baylor. I don't know if you've seen this. He caught the first pitch one day, and when he was a hitting coach, and he broke his leg. The ball was thrown to his side. Yes, his ankle rolled over, and he broke his leg. He was on one knee. If you Google that, it's unbelievable that he got hurt catching the first pitch. So I got out of there unscathed, and I'm very happy about that.
Did you phone Lori before you took the pitch to tell her what could happen here?
Yeah, up the insurance. I told her, up the insurance. I'm catching the first pitch.
Beautiful. You know, one other thing about this team, well, and, you know, it's Posey, it's Crawford, it's Longoria, it's Belt. They're so relaxed. They look like they're on top of the world. Why is that?
Well, you know, I think first of all, you're winning, and you know, any veteran at this point in their career, the guys that you mentioned, especially guys that have won, you know, they're in it to win, and it's such a different game. It's such a different season. when you're not in the playoff chase. As you said, every game we're playing now, it's just like the playoffs. They're all so meaningful. And, you know, that elevates your desire to be out there and your focus. Now, they are relaxed because they're good, and they enjoy these moments. And I think that they know we're good as a team. So, you know, they're the leaders of the club, and they're playing like leaders. They're very confident in what they're doing, and why shouldn't they be? They're all having fabulous years, and they believe in this team. So that brings a lot of peace, confidence, and that's what you're seeing.
Boy, it's great. You know, this is about as hot as belt I've ever seen him. And I said it on the show, you flip that lineup around, this guy is an innings changer. That's what I call him.
Yeah, no, he sees a lot of pitches, and the pitcher's always working, and these guys just grind it out, and they are having a lot of fun, and this is what they play for, and I think they're enjoying it as much as anybody. There's no question about it.
Yeah, before we wrap it up, Duggar's catch, not his catch, but his flip yesterday over the wall to bring the ball back from Soler, that would have been a home run. It was like a highlight play, Ro. They got the Cesta out, and he flipped it back into the field of play.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I didn't see that in real time until we saw it on the replay. And if you watch, Yaz is running over from right field because the ball might be off the wall, and you want to back up as Duggar goes to catch it. Ball could hit the wall and kick out, and then Yaz would be there to pick it up. And Antoine was pointing out to me, when Duggar flipped it back in with his glove, Yaz was running. He tried to catch it, which would have been a catch if he could have got there in time. Of course, he was a few yards away. You know, it saved the run. And a two-run lead's much better than a one-run lead. It really changes the game. So that was another great play in the game that helped us win the game.
Yeah, you guys are living right, I'll tell you that. And Littell came in and struck everybody out, and then you guys scored in the bottom of the fourth with Casale. Oh, boy. Hey, River Islands, well, just wanted to mention to everybody, the high school is underway. Remember we talked about the K-8 schools, but the high school is underway. The first classes for ninth graders scheduled for 2023, so how about that?
Well, that's great. You know, I mean Now you can go to high school right there as well, which makes things even more convenient than they were before. And as you had mentioned many times, I mean, there's still a lot of plans ahead for that town to grow and get bigger. You know, more schools, more lakes. So once again, I mean, if you haven't checked out River Islands, go to riverislands.com and get a look at it. It's just a wonderful community.
All right. Well, have a great day today and enjoy it. And, boy, what a week this has been. And there's more to come down to San Diego and then Colorado next weekend. And this is the last road trip. So have a great day today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Marty. You have a great week as well.
All right. That is our third base coach, the Professor Ron Wotus of the San Francisco Giants. All right. More coming up. Bill will be joining us next. Jeff Francoeur is his guest, a former Giant and a wonderful play-by-play analyst. I like listening to him, of the TV network for the Atlanta Braves. So it'll be Bill and Jeff Francoeur coming up next right here on the Sports Leader.